The Meaning of Marxism by Paul D'Amato. Section. Can ordinary people run society? A common argument against socialism is that the majority, the working class, is incapable of ruling collectively. We need educated, intelligent experts to run such a complex system. The legendary stupidity of George W. Bush, whose rich parents and crony friends bought him passing grades and much more, or the incompetence of the Federal Emergency Management Agency bureaucrats during Hurricane Katrina in 2005, are both strong arguments against this view. "I think we are welcomed," said Bush, when asked about Vice President Dick Cheney's predictions that U.S. troops would be greeted with thanks by Iraqis. Quote, "But it was not a peaceful welcome." When Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva showed him a map of Brazil, Bush exclaimed, "Wow, Brazil is big." There are many other examples that could be cited of presidents, industrialists, and bureaucrats with limited, if non-existent, abilities. Howard Hughes was another mediocrity, wrote Paul Foote. Quote, "He started life as a playboy and ended it as a lunatic. He had no ability at all. Yet through a mixture of luck and the ability to read a balance sheet, Hughes became the boss of a gigantic financial and industrial empire. He was able, almost alone, to nominate the President of the United States, Richard Nixon, who also had no ability, knowledge, or skill of any kind. Howard Hughes designed an aeroplane which crashed and directed a film which was a monumental failure. He couldn't do anything which mattered. Yet he made the decisions." The list is endless. Successful capitalists, almost to a man, are not people with any natural ability. Yet they decide what the experts do. End quote. Most people at the very top of society, the multimillionaires and billionaires, play no direct function in society's running. They merely collect the rewards of ownership. The ruling class today has become entirely parasitic, siphoning wealth but serving no useful social function. As early as 1881, Frederick Engels wrote that the capitalists do little but cash in dividend checks. Quote, "The social function of the capitalist here has been transferred to servants paid by wages. But he continues to pocket, in his dividends, the pay for those functions, though he has ceased to perform them." Quote, "We can manage very well without the interference of the capitalist class in the great industries of the country," Engels concluded. Quote, "Stand back, give the working class the chance of a turn." End quote. Bankers and investors don't make steel. It hardly takes intellectual brilliance for someone who inherits $1 million to double it. Society could do away with the ruling class and suffer no more than when an appendix is removed from the human body. But do workers possess the capacity to rule? Won't they still depend on experts? Often it is workers' own hard-won, first-hand knowledge that engineers and managers use to figure out how to improve production, that is, to squeeze as much out of workers as possible. Not to deny the genius of a Newton or an Einstein, but, quote, "If science is understood in the fundamental sense of the knowledge of nature," writes Clifford Connor in his People's History of Science, quote, "it should not be surprising to find that it originated with the people closest to nature, hunter-gatherers, peasant farmers, sailors, miners, blacksmiths, folk healers, and others, forced by the conditions of their lives, to wrest the means of their survival from an encounter with nature on a daily basis. End quote. Given the opportunity, everyone is capable of learning the scientific, administrative, and mathematical skills necessary to play a direct role in running society. Just as in pre-class society, knowledge of terrain, plants, and animals, or of toolmaking, was shared by the group, and not treated as the monopoly of a minority. Experts and scientists would still be needed for a time even under socialism, until the education system was improved, the majority received education that today is only reserved for the privileged few. For a time, workers would have to exercise democratic control over the bookkeepers, managers, and engineers. But with society's vast resources diverted towards education, the distinctions between mental and manual work would break down, and the majority would be capable of doing many different kinds of jobs, from manual work to scientific work to administrative work. If workers, through their own directly elected representatives, were to seize control of production, no doubt mistakes would be made. But they would be the mistakes of the collective rather than the blind workings of the market, and could quickly be remedied by experience. For example, if the workers of Chicago ran the city, instead of corporate bigwigs and their corrupt political hirelings, they would immediately be in solving the city's most pressing problems. The homeless would be quickly housed in unused homes, excess hotel space, and the requisition of second and third homes of the rich. Meanwhile, unemployed construction workers would be organized to begin building houses. The ill-gotten gains of the city's patricians and their hangers-ons would be seized and used to feed the hungry, improve dilapidated schools, provide better park services, update and extend transportation, and create real after-school programs for all. The run-down, destroyed ghettos of the West Side would become beautiful neighborhoods by redirecting the millions in parking ticket money siphoned off to crony mafia friends, as well as funds earmarked for boondoggle stadiums. Real jobs, and real job training, would be made available to the thousands of young unemployed African Americans, Latinos, and poor whites who have been left to languish in the streets or in prison, where their great human potential is wasted. On a national level, billions earmarked for the utter waste of weapons of mass destruction would be diverted into projects that benefit the mass of the population. The solution to homelessness is simple: build homes for the homeless. But in our society, nothing is done if it isn't profitable. In a society run by the collective producers, these problems can be solved because social need, rather than the market, will determine how decisions are made. End of section.